You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Dunkin' Donuts with the perfect twist donut.
Dunkin' Donuts with the bow tie donut.
James was like on the way here, I love this. This is my favorite Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like, oh, not expecting that to come out of James Brown III's mouth. And he was like, yeah, this is my favorite particular donut that they have here that they don't have at all the Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like, I am a donut addict. And he was kind of like not maybe believing it. So I pulled out my wallpaper on my phone, which is donuts.
It's all donuts.
It's all donuts. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. It's me, Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, an online training program that helps actors train like athletes. Actors are athletes, so start training like one. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com. You can just simply fill out your name and email. No catch at all. No type of requirements or any type of obligation. Just a chance to try it out. Builtforthestage.com. Try out that free trial. It's actually a 7-day trial, and the theme of it is taking center stage on this little show called Your Life. So let me help you jumpstart, put you into action. Speaking of action, I just saw part one of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and there was so much magical action going on there. So I had to drag into the studio with me, none other than James Brown III. What's up, James?
What's up?
James is actually reappearing on the podcast. He was on episode 9 back in our early days. He was all the way in Australia. He was so kind to take a phone call with me. He's like, all right, I'll do this random thing for you, Joe, you know, whatever. Speaking of, he's so supportive of me. We'll get to that in a second. He's just such good people. But he spoke to me while, you know, he could have just been enjoying himself, you know, just taking in that kangaroo sun. But he definitely was kind enough to be on that. So if you want, you can go back to episode 9 if you love James, and you can check out a little bit of that too. So talk to us about the times in rehearsals when you're talking, quote unquote, through the magic, but you really can't do the magic in the studio. Is there any like funny stories where like you guys are like just kind of miming magic in rehearsal studios, or how did you guys go about that?
Yeah, we are lucky enough that our producers are crazy, but also just thorough. So in our rehearsal studio, a lot of the magical elements we have. What gets hard is actually more of the automation, so the turntable moving, and really just the height of the ceiling in the room that we're in. So most of the things that get awkward are when you would ride in at the top of the stairs, but you can't because you'd be clotheslined by a pipe in the ceiling at New 42. Mm-hmm. So really, like, those are the moments in the rehearsal, you know, process that get awkward. But most of the magic we can actually do in the studio. So sadly, I wish I had like a funnier story or anecdote, but I really don't.
No, it's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah. You know, a little behind the scenes insight that you actually had the stuff.
Yeah, we have most of the stuff. And, you know, obviously if you were watching the magic, you'd see the magic because mm-hmm. we don't have the lighting that we have mm-hmm. at the theater, but actually performing the trick or the illusion we can actually do in the studio.
I'm loving the story. I'm loving the performances, but there is the element too of like when you watch a normal magic show, you're always trying to figure, okay, how'd they do that? Like, yeah. how's that going on?
Yeah, yeah.
So some of it I'm like, oh, I know. But there was a couple of things where I'm like, what just happened? Like,
yeah, there.
How
are,
can I figure this out?
Yeah, there are future. What I find most exciting about the show is J.K. and Jack and John Tiffany and Stephen Hoggett. When they created this story, it was written for the stage in mind. There was never an intention from the beginning to make it a film, and so because of that, they were able to say, "Okay, listen." As a play, as a stage play, there's no way we're going to be able to compete with the CGI of a film. So how can we actually do the exact opposite? How can we create something that really utilizes something that a film can't do, and that's utilizing the human being and utilizing real stage crafting illusions? And so mostly illusions are manned by us, and some of them are old school tricks that you know, you've seen before that they've reimagined, and some of them were just created for the show. Obviously, we have signed several NDAs to never tell.
I knew it. I love the bookshelf scene. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I don't want to say cute, but like it is kind of, it's just cute. Like the
yeah.
puppets almost of the books. Really cute.
Most people really love the bookshelf. They also love the Time Turner, which is one that people constantly ask me about. And oddly enough, no one has ever guessed it right. Obviously, I wouldn't tell them if they were right, but no one has ever actually guessed what it is. So that's kind of cool.
Are you talking, you're not referencing like how the stage waves?
Yeah.
I was just assuming it was like a combination of the lights with the projections. That's what I was thinking. But
people think that.
But I guess I'm wrong, huh? Okay. Yeah. Now I'm like not thinking about carrying on this conversation, but thinking about figuring that out.
Yeah.
So you're playing different characters today. Tell us a little bit about that. Because for me, like we were talking about when we were getting here, I was not a Potterhead growing up. So a lot of this is very brand new to me. Not a lot, all of it.
Yeah.
And let me just, a side note is that even if you're like me, this show stands on its own. So I'm not sitting there like, oh, I'm left out. I mean, I am left out. Some people are getting references that maybe I'm not. But as far as following the story, I definitely am able to do that. But tell us a little bit about your character that you're playing today and then what you usually do on other days and nights.
Yeah, so I'm playing Hagrid and Sorting Hat, which is super fun. They're both beloved characters from the books and the films. The Sorting Hat in the show is cool because they completely reimagine the character. Obviously, in the films, it's an actual hat, like a witch's hat. And in the show, they've reimagined him to be like the epitome of a dapper gentleman, you know? And he's a bit like the narrator of the piece. And Hagrid is Hagrid, you know, he's Hagrid. He's lovable. He's big. He's, you know, Harry is like fairy godfather in a way.
I got that. Yeah.
Yeah. But most nights I play Bane, the centaur. So I'm half man, half horse, with the powers of divination. And so I've actually been splitting my time between playing Bane and playing Hagrid and Sorting Hat, which has been really exciting to, that all of my roles are magical creatures.
Mm. Yeah. So we also, as we were walking over here, talking about my comparison and parallels to the movies Hook and It's a Wonderful Life.
Rufio!
Exactly, yeah. There's this, well, when I was coming into it, I knew that, so Bill for the Stage fam, a new client, James Snyder, plays Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And me, not being a Potterhead, I watch Harry Potter, the movies, and I'm like, oh, he's like a teenager or he's like whatever. So I'm like, he's Harry Potter. I don't know what I'm getting into. So I go in and it's grown up Harry Potter.
It is grown up
And it's Harry very Potter. Much like, for me, Robin Williams as Peter Pan in Hook. And just seeing him be himself and like what the people know him as, but like as this grown up, I don't want to say shadow of who he used to be, but just like this total 180 of, you know, the younger Harry. And then there's some cool stuff. I won't give it away if you haven't seen the show. This show, The Cursed Child, it wasn't a book or a movie, correct? Is this new material?
It's new material, but it is an actual book that she wrote specifically to be the stage show. So if you were to buy this book at Barnes & Noble's, it is the actual script of our show.
But the book didn't come out until the show came out, correct?
Yes.
Meaning like they
it's were- It's not one of the original.
Yeah, they were books. Meant to come out kind of together.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So the It's a Wonderful Life thing with, I didn't want to be like a spoiler. I didn't know if like, but if you've read the books, you know what I'm talking about in this particular case. Just how, all right, if you're like me, I'm not going to give it away, but things were changed and like George and Clarence the Angel, and they're living this life of like, once again, a 180 of like, things are not the way they used to be.
Yeah.
And they leave you like that at the end of part one. And you're like, what?
And just you wait till you go back.
I am, oh my gosh. Like, I just want to leave right now and hurry it up and get it going. It was very special at the end of part one to hear the audience's reaction. Like,
yeah.
Going into it as an audience member, I'm thinking, oh man, there's two parts. Like, wow, I got to come back again. Yeah. Are you serious? But at the end, everyone's like, they were lit. They probably, maybe some of them didn't even leave. They're just sitting there waiting.
No, and I think to me, the most exciting way to see the show is to do it all in one day, a Wednesday, Saturday, or Sunday, rather than split it up between Thursday and Friday, just because by the time you get to the end of the show and it ends the way it ends, you want to know, you're ready to come back. You're at the very least, you're like, okay, we can go eat.
Right.
And then let's get back to the action. And there are still more, if you can believe it, there's still more tricks and illusions that we've saved that are even bigger and better than part one.
Oh, I can't wait. The swimming scene was great. Really loved that. So you're teching right now at the same time performing
indeed.
The show for your third cast coming in?
Yeah, so there are, I think, 10 people coming in, new folks coming in for the third year of our contract. So we're losing 10 people. But because the show is so large and it's two parts, there's so many moving pieces, quite literally, we actually do almost a full tech process all over again. So that basically happens once a year around this time. And so it just gives an opportunity for the new cast to be a part of the magic and feel it without an audience there. And so it takes it's like a 4-week process.
Was yesterday a 10 out of 12 kind of tech? Or
yesterday was a 9 to 8.
A 9 yeah. a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yes.
And you have two shows today.
And we have two shows today.
Now, yesterday, before 9 a.m., what'd you do?
I went to the gym, obviously.
You went to the gym? Where are all my clients out there listening to this? I get a... this is all in love out there. I get a lot of messages during tech week when people are like, yo, it's tech week. Like, it's so hard and blah, blah, blah. James is in that gym.
Well, listen, It for me, it's the only way to get through the process. Yesterday, I was excited. I felt happy. My, you know, life was great. I was watching a lot of my cast already at, you know, 10 a.m. Like, this is awful. It's already long. But I don't know. It's just how I live. But I get it. You know, tech is hard. But for me, the thing that helps me get through it is working out. I will say the gym at 7:30 in the morning is awful. I wanted to poke not my eyes out, their eyes out, because it's just crazy. So
James has this thing with crowds. So we're vlogging this. Let me take the time to pitch our vlog. So James is kind enough to actually be in episode 4 of It's the Day of the Show, y'all. And it's on our YouTube channel. You like that?
Cool.
You like that? It's the Day of the Show, y'all. And last week was Moulin Rouge. We were at Emoji Land, the off-Broadway show with Bill for the Stage fam, Jacob Dickey. Anyways, if you want to check out this episode with James Brown III, you can. But I was like, James, for good content's sake, can we take a hard right and walk down Broadway in the middle of Times Square? And his face was like, you know, should I be polite? Should I tell this guy you're insane? No. But he did. He broke out into hives, but we eventually diverted and took a hard left to get back out. But he was cringing the entire time.
It's only because I love you, Joe. But living in New York for almost 20 years and working on Broadway for almost 20 years, Times Square, for as necessary as it is for me to have a job because I need the tourists to come see these shows.
Right.
I also...
You don't need to walk amongst them.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
They're here for the, you know, first or second time, and they're barely— let them have their thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Like let them live their lives. And
if you want to visit me on 11th Ave near the water where no one's walking, I'll meet you over there at 11th Ave. Or the Dunkin' Donuts with the perfect twist donut.
Dunkin' Donuts with the bow tie donut.
James was like on the way here, I love this. This is my favorite Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like, oh, not expecting that to come out of James Brown III's mouth. And he was like, yeah, this is my favorite particular donut that they have here that they don't have at all the Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like, I am a donut addict. And he was kind of like not maybe believing it. So I pulled out my wallpaper on my phone, which is donuts.
It's all donuts.
It's all donuts.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So you've been here for 20 years. You said you've been on Broadway working for 20 years. That was not an exaggeration, people. You can look up his resume or look up in the descriptions the Broadway shows that he's been in. How have you done it, sir? How do you keep booking shows? What are some of your practices that allow you to be so fortunate?
Wow, that's such a big question. I definitely feel like a lot of... you know, like luck presenting itself with opportunity. It's one of those businesses that networking is such a huge part of it. And I was really fortunate enough in the early part of my career to, the first show I did was Lion King. And for those of you who know Disney well or have worked for Disney, you know how loyal Disney is. And they, Tom Schumacher over there is just one of the most amazing producers. Just having that as kind of my foundation for when I got here, I learned a lot. It put me in front of a lot of people. And then from there, I went on to work with Susan Stroman, who's another person that's super loyal. And I learned a lot from her artistically. And so I think between those two things, it really put me in rooms with the people who I continuously work with throughout my career. And so much of it is really just knowing people and being... useful to them in rooms where they're creating multi-million dollar properties in this commercial theater world that we're in. And the thing that is most helpful to a creative team, to producers, is knowing that the people in the room that are helping them create it, they can trust, and that they can allow us to do that creative work to help them kind of pull the piece together. And so between that and, you know, continuing to train and continue to both like artistically trained, but also physically. So built for the stagers, keep going to the gym.
I love this topic because a lot of people, you know, they'll point to luck or who you know or serendipity or whatever. And all of those might be a part of the equation. But when it comes down to it, you have to be willing to step through the door.
Yeah.
You also have to be willing to do what it takes to step through the door, because not all doors are the same as far as how you're going to get through that door.
Yeah.
And for you, what you just said at the end was that, you know, you've put in the work and continue to put in the work. And when you go through the door, who are you when you get there? Do you bring your talent? More importantly, are you pleasant to be around? Are you someone that is worth spending all this time with? Yeah. And what do you bring to not only the piece, but the people around you that also are trying to have an impact in the piece?
Well, and I mean, I think that's the thing, right? Every year, a new crop of conservatory actors graduate. And the larger Broadway becomes a commercial industry, the more savvy these schools are, especially the bigger schools, the more savvy they are in training kids who have the talent to do the thing. So now, you know, you can drop, you know, a dime out of this window and hit five people that can, you know, sing an A and kick their face. So it then becomes, well, what is the other thing that makes you different? What is the thing that makes me want to continue to work with you? Because I can get someone that can do all the things you can do, but now I also need someone that I want to be around. I need someone that has an imagination. And I think the dreaming part, the imagination part, is something that actually is kind of our education system, oddly enough, it feels like it beats out of us a little bit. And we get, in every industry, I think we start to lose that part of it. And the biggest thing we need as actors is our imagination and the ability to dream and to create and to dream up new worlds and new characters and new lives. And some of that gets lost, I think, in the process, because we're all so hungry to get the big note, to nail, quote unquote, the monologue, or to, you know, get our leg up, and we're missing the dreaming part.
Mm. What are you dreaming up outside of Harry Potter? Who is James when you're not on stage, and what have you been up to outside the show?
I've been dreaming up stories. I love telling stories, and over the last year, I've been writing screenplays and TV. And producing, I've produced a couple short films. One is in festival circuits as we speak. Another one is in post-production. So the next kind of stage of my career is as a writer and a producer of TV and film. And it's been really exciting to kind of take all of the life experience and artistic experience that I've had as an actor for the last 20 years, and let it inform the stories that I want to tell and how I want to tell them and pictures that that I want to make. So that's been one of the incredible things about Harry Potter, is having the energy and the time and the money, quite frankly, to take my time and write the stories that I want to write and not be pressed to sell them immediately, because it's my means of paying my rent. Mm. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Will you like give us an insight on any of the stories that, you know, topics or like what you're kind of dreaming up?
Yeah. I mean, they're a little bit like, I'm working on three different things at the moment that are all very different. One is a biopic about this amazing man by the name of Eugene Bullard, you have to look him up, but he was the first African-American fighter pilot to fly in World War I, and he actually fought for the French. So his life is wildly interesting and also wildly unknown. So that's been exciting. Another is based on, and it's an adaptation of a YA novel. It's like a teen heist screenplay, which has been really fun to write. Mm. And then one of my best friends and I have developed a TV pilot that I'm writing that is that involves like some music, and it feels very urban and fresh, and kind of is like if you were to mesh into the Spideyverse with like Everybody Hates Chris or Rags to Riches. So it's really fun. something I'll be trying to tap my Disney roots.
So, very cool. All that's being said, you go to the gym, you work full-time in a Broadway show, you're creating three different pieces. Do you have a schedule? How do you do this?
Yeah, I definitely have a schedule. I've committed myself to writing 5 pages a day, which has been really helpful because I think that that's a lot of people say they want to be a writer and then they come up with excuses for like not writing. And I think obviously...
Sorry to interrupt you. You can't only write when you feel like writing, right?
Yeah, like you really have to make it a full-time job and really... And write
like the gym. Like, you can't gym. Only go to the gym.
This is right? Right. Yeah. He's absolutely right.
It's the same. This is like.
Yeah. They're parallel. They're parallel.
Two boats. Just
listen, this morning I went to the gym and I was really sad about it. And I even put it on my Instagram that I was like, but I showed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
All right, keep going. Sorry to interrupt you.
I
5 pages a day.
You know, 5 pages a day of writing, if not editing. Yeah, so that's kind of the productive side of the schedule that I have myself on. And I just make sure that I can get that done at some point during the day based on my schedule. Luckily, I'm a morning person, so I know that I can be most productive in the morning, which is great because, you know, I'm not getting phone calls and a bunch of emails and that kind of stuff. So I can usually get a lot of it done before actually leaving for the gym. But yeah, I mean, I've kind of... been lucky to, I kind of made Soho House my like reworks. So I'll go on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays during the day and go and write as much as I can there. And then on double show days, the way the show works, I can get a lot of writing done during the day. And so, you know, so I feel like I do have 2 full-time jobs, but I think I'm fortunate that both of them are my passions. Not everyone gets to do that. And so that is a blessing and something that I don't ever want to take for granted, even when I'm tired and don't feel like it. Sometimes, you know, interesting things come out of being quote unquote blocked, you know, your writer's block. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you just have to just put stuff down on the page and come back to it later rather than just, you know, sit there and stare at the page.
You just got to show up.
Yeah.
You got to crawl through the gym doors sometimes. And
definitely.
A lot of the times you'll end up marching out proudly.
Yeah.
Other times you might not, but you showed up and you put that work in.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, artists struggle with that, is that they have the passion or they have the desire, but they lack the knowledge or kind of epiphany of, I need to have a plan,
yeah,
a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, James isn't saying, I want to write. He's saying, I'm going to write 5 pages a day. Or I should even say, James isn't saying, I want to be a writer. He's saying, to be a writer, I will commit to 5 pages a day.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, I wish I could be in shape. No. At 9 a.m. Monday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'll just throw out those random days, but they're specific, I will go and do XYZ. Speaking of go for it, we're going to go get some sushi, guys. James, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
If you want to find James online on the socials, we'll put all of his stuff on the description of this podcast episode. And we'll also have the vlog, It's the Day of the Show, y'all, YouTube link on this description too. So you could see James's beautiful face walking through Times Square, loving the people. So yeah, don't forget about that free trial we just mentioned and the vlog and our Instagram at Bill for the Stage. Thank you so much for listening. Truly mean that. Love you all out there. Love fitness, love one another. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.